Scripture this morning, I ask you to turn with me to the first letter of John to the church. We're beginning a new series this morning that I've entitled Fellowship, Living in Perfect Union. We had finished our time with Ruth last week, and now we're going to begin a new series looking at this book together and spending time here and what God has to say in this powerful little letter written to us by John. This morning, we're going to begin with first four verses of chapter 1. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim to you concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was this with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to you to make our joy complete. Here in the reading of God's word, His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word and for its truth. We thank you for its power that indeed you are the word of God, the word of life, the word of truth. And I pray that through your word this morning, you would speak to our hearts and encourage us. Give us a greater vision of yourself, your glory, and your majesty. That we can truly say it has been good to be with you this morning. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you was going to write a letter to somebody you loved, maybe a loved one, a family member, what would you say? Would you give them some counsel and teaching, some wisdom that you want to part on and share with them? Would you give them a warning about maybe something you saw that they were doing and you just want to give them a warning and instruction on things that they maybe change? That was what the Apostle John was doing as he was writing this letter to the church that he loved. The Apostle Paul, John, who wrote this letter, was writing to the church of God around the world at that time to encourage them. A little bit about the introduction about this book. It was written by John the Apostle from Ephesus. At this point, John was the only living apostle left of the original ones that had followed Jesus and had heard him and seen him. He was the only one left, written from Ephesus about 85 to 90 AD. At this time, John was serving at Ephesus as the pastor there, the church that the Apostle Paul had started and spent 3 years teaching. Then Timothy was the pastor. Now John was there and writing from Ephesus to all the Christians around the world as the only living apostle. The purpose of his letter, as he said here, is to bring us into fellowship with God. That we would have a personal fellowship and a relationship with Him, and we would know who our Lord is and why He has come. Another purpose of this letter is to give us assurance. And we're going to see at the end of the book, he said, I write this to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. John wanted to make sure that we don't have those doubts, that we have a relationship and fellowship with God, and how to know and have the assurance that we are in that relationship with Him. Also, another purpose of the letter was to confront false doctrine. As the only living apostle left, by this time, false doctrine and heresy was beginning to permeate into the church. And Paul had warned the teachers at Ephesus of that. We read in the book of Acts, as he was leaving Ephesus, he got together the elders of the church and he warned them. He said, I know that after I leave, false teachers are going to come in and they're going to try to deceive you. This was already going on in the time of John. And as the only living apostle, he was writing to confront some of the false teaching that had crept into the church. Some of the false teachers that were going to say, we can be in fellowship with God and we can be a believer, but we can live any way we want. It doesn't matter. We can live in sin and we can do whatever we want. God doesn't care. That was some of the false teaching he was going to corrupt, as well as others as well, which we'll address this morning. The letter addresses both right doctrine, which we call our orthodox belief, that which we believe, and right living, which is orthopraxy. And we won't know how to live right in the way of God if we don't know what we believe. And so having to have that right belief and knowing the truth helps us to know how God wants us to live. And we don't know how to live if we don't know the truth, right? If we don't have the right belief system. And John, this letter, John is going to address both of these, right living and right doctrine, in this book. The theme of the letter, there's several, was right belief in Jesus, right obedience to his commands and what it means to obey his commands, and right love for one another and how we're to love one another in fellowship with God. And John's going to say we can't say we're in fellowship with God if we're not in fellowship with one another. And so he's going to confront a lot of those issues as we go through this book together. A simple outline of 1 John is this, if you want to write this down: God is light, in chapters 1 and 2, and John uses very simple terms. John uses light and darkness, love and hate. He often does a lot of contrast in the way he writes. And so God is light in chapters 1 and 2, God is love is going to be chapters 3 and 4, and God is life, chapter 5. That's a simple outline to remember what's coming in the weeks ahead. So verses 1 through 4 serve as an introduction to the book, where John is basically introducing us to the theme of Jesus and how to have fellowship with him. And John wants us to know the word of life. He wants us to know the one who invaded time and space and the one who makes it possible for us to have fellowship with God in a personal way. So that is how he's going to begin his book, because it's all about fellowship and how to live in a perfect union and relationship with God, and how to live in a perfect union and fellowship and a relationship with one another. And that's what this book is about. So this morning, let's begin with these first four verses, which are very, very deep. And John is going to take us deep into the mind of the cave with some great truth and nuggets of who God is. And what he wants us to know is he introduces us to the very word of life himself, the one who he witnessed, the one who he knew personally, and he wants us to know and to fellowship with as well. So first, we look at the source of fellowship. How God wants us to know, what is the source of fellowship? If fellowship is the theme verse of what he wants us to know and experience fellowship with God, how is that possible? How is it possible that you and I can have a personal fellowship and relationship with the creator of the universe? How is that possible? The source of it comes, the only way, is through Jesus, who is the word of life, who is God himself. That is how fellowship with God is possible, through Jesus Christ, who is the word. Notice what he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, which our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The one who existed from the very beginning, who he's talking about, who was Jesus himself, who is God. And when John says here in verse 1:1, that which was from the beginning, what pops into your mind? Where have you heard that before? Anybody, where have you heard that before? Genesis 1:1, in the what? Beginning. God. Meaning before anything else. Anything else was, God was already present. God already existed. He is the eternal one. And when he says here that we have fellowship through the word of life, who is God, John's telling us that Jesus is the eternal one. He was from the beginning. He existed before anything else was. John 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. And then that God who existed created and made everything else. John 1:1, turn with me there. And we see it again. In John 1:1, John's writing his gospel about who Jesus is. And he starts by saying, in the beginning was the what? Word. And the word was who? God. And the word was with God. He was with God from the very beginning. So Jesus is the eternal one. He wants us to remember that he's introducing us to Jesus who always existed. There never was a time that Jesus was not. He is the source. Because of that, he is the source of all things. Genesis 1:1 says, that's God who existed, created. And in John 1, verses 1 to 3, John goes on to say that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Verse 3, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, Paul writing says, for by him, talking about Jesus, all things were created. By him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him, because he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So who's the source of fellowship with God? The Word of life, who was God himself, the eternal one who always existed before anything else ever was. He was the source of all things, and he was before all things. He didn't come into being at his birth at Christmas. Jesus existed way before that. He existed in eternal fellowship with the Father and the Spirit in eternity past. The God who always was. In the beginning was the Word. Daniel L. Akin, in his commentary on 1 John, states this: there has never been a time when the Son was not, and there will never be a time when he will not be. He was before the beginning, he was in the beginning, and he was from the beginning. So why is that important? John is writing this letter to let us know how to have a relationship and fellowship with God. And in order to know how to have a relationship and fellowship with God, we need to know the one who is God himself, the Word, who came to make that relationship possible. And there are people that do not believe that Jesus is God. In fact, in John's day, that was already beginning to be attacked. And John was writing to confront false doctrine. Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. And making that statement, the Jews knew exactly what that word meant, because where did you hear I am before? God said that to Moses, remember? When he asked about his name, he said, who are you? He said, I am who I am. And Jesus was making the statement here, before Abraham even existed, I am, because I am the Lord, I am God. So in John's day, there was a heresy that developed called Arianism. It was condemned by the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Today, the same heresy that was condemned by the church exists in the Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses is still perpetrating this view of Arianism that John is confronting here. And you say, well, what is that? Why is that important? We see it in 1 John. Arianism came from a man whose name was Arius. He was a prominent teacher from Alexandria, Egypt, who claimed to be a Christian teacher. But this is what he taught, and see if this sounds biblical from what John is teaching us. He taught that Jesus was God's first and greatest creation. Does that sound biblical? Does that sound what John's teaching us here? He said, since Jesus was created by the Father, he did not always exist. He is of a different substance of the Father. Does that sound biblical to you? No. But John is here writing to refute that. No, he who was from the beginning is the one I'm proclaiming to you. Jehovah's Witnesses and false teachers are still distorting the fact that they cannot accept that Jesus is God himself. And so he's writing here to help us know who the truth is. Arius stated that God became a father and the Son was not always. Once he was not, because he was created. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and by him everything was made. So how can we have fellowship? We need to have fellowship to know the truth about who our Lord is, that Jesus is God. He is not somebody who came into being later, but he is the eternal one who always existed with the Father. That's who our Lord is. Praise God, right? And we need to know the truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the eternal one, but he is also the eternal Son. Notice what he says here. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, our hands have touched. That life appeared, verse 2, and we have seen it and testify that he is the eternal life, that life which was with the Father has appeared to us. That Jesus is the eternal Son. He was with the Father. And that phrase meaning that he was with the Father means he was not the Father. That's a teaching here of the Trinity. Jesus and the Father are two, they're distinct, but yet they're same God, one God, two persons. Jesus being with the Father, he's not the Father, he's the Son, but yet eternally existent with him. Deep teaching here, but this is what John wants us to know as the only living apostle, but who knew Jesus personally. He said, I have seen him, I knew him, and I am sharing with you the truth of our Lord. He is eternal one, he is the eternal Son, but he is also the eternal life. Verse 4 says that in him was life, and we have seen him. He said that life appeared. That life appeared, and we have seen and testified concerning it. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, that you may have fellowship with us. Verse 2, he said, we proclaim to you concerning the word of life. And 1 John, in John chapter 1, verse 4, John wrote, again, he said that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And in John 14, verse 6, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. John 3:16, the verse we all know so well, Jesus said that those who believe in him have eternal life. But he is that source of eternal life. So Jesus, the source that comes from Jesus, the word of life, who is God. But second, John wants us to know that Jesus, our life fellowship comes through Jesus, the word of life, who became man. Not only is he God in his fullness, but John is reminding this Jesus, the word of life, who is God, became man for us. That's how fellowship with God was going to be made possible. That he was going to leave heaven and come to earth for you and me. That he became man. Notice what he said in verse 2. That life appeared or manifested himself, was made known. Another word to say it. And we have seen it. And we testify and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has also appeared to us. John said, we saw him. This God took on human, who always existed, took on human flesh and lived with us. And we saw him with our own eyes. We touched him. We heard him. We seen him. And I'm proclaiming to you what we know. That what we can take from the very word of God himself, that Jesus, who is both God fully became man for us. And why? So that we could have that relationship with him. So that we could know him. He became man. John here was refuting another false teaching that was going on in its day called Gnosticism. And the Gnostics believed that all matter was evil. They come out of the Greek background and Greek philosophy, and they believed that the spirit was what was good, and the flesh and matter was evil. And because the flesh is evil, Jesus, being divine and God, could not become flesh. He could not take on a human form because he would become sinful. That's what they were teaching. What's John saying here? That the word, what, became flesh. So he's refuting the Gnostic teaching of that day. And the Gnostics broke down into two groups. Some believed that Jesus was simply a ghost or a phantom, and he only appeared to be human. He didn't have a human form. He just had a form that kind of appeared that way, but he wasn't really physical. Others taught that Jesus, the Christ Spirit, defended on Jesus at his baptism when he was baptized. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, and the Spirit descended on him. But when he went to the cross, the sin took away from him, and he just died as a man. That he did not die. God did not die for us. Does that sound true to you? No. And so John here was refuting the fact that Jesus is both fully God and he's fully man. Jesus is fully God and fully man. He is not half God and half man, all God and no man, and all man and no God. He is 100% God and 100% man. And John begins this letter by saying, if you want to have fellowship with God, then you need to know who this Word of Life is. And this Word of Life is God Himself, who took on human flesh, became man for us, that we could be brought into relationship with Him, that He can restore us back to Himself. That's why it's important. The source of life, the source of fellowship. The Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. And John said, we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He said, we looked at Him, our eyes have seen Him, we touched Him, we heard Him, we are proclaiming to you the truth about who God is. Second, then, John wants us to know fellowship with God, not only the source of fellowship, but the invitation into fellowship. As he begins this letter, he's inviting us into fellowship with this God who always existed, the God who was the creator of all things, the God who existed before everything else. We are invited into relationship and fellowship with him. Just think of that. And the wonderful privilege that is, he says here in verse 3, he said, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. We're telling you this so that what? You may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And that we may have that fellowship with Him. We are invited into fellowship. We are welcomed into an intimate relationship with the Trinity, God Himself. And think of that. You, I, we're all invited into an intimate relationship with the God who existed before everything else. There was a time when all that existed was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit living into intimate relationship with themselves. And they had that intimate relationship among the Trinity that they enjoyed. And God said, you know, our fellowship that we have, our intimacy between us that we have as a Trinity is so wonderful. I want to create man so that they can enjoy that fellowship with us. Isn't that awesome? And that's what he did. He created us so that we could be invited into an intimate relationship with God himself. That's just mind-blowing. But that's what he did. And he said, we're writing this to you. We're proclaiming this to you so that you can have fellowship with God himself. Because our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. I mean, the deep truth of what John is writing in the opening of this letter and what he wants us to know. And that word fellowship is a deep, rich word. When he said, you may have fellowship with us, it's the word koinonia. You may have heard that word before. But the word koinonia literally means sharing in common, having something in common with someone else. We talk about the church. We have koinonia fellowship. We have common share. And fellowship means having that we share a common life. We share in a common bond. We share in a common purpose. And we share in a common value and common values that we share together. And John is saying, I have written this so that you may have fellowship or share in the common life and a common bond, be joined together with God himself. The one who was, who is to come, who made all things. That we share in his common life. That we share that kind of fellowship with him. That is a wonderful invitation we've been invited into. What a privilege it is that what Jesus has done for us, that he left heaven of glory, laid aside that to be born into human flesh so that he could go to the cross as God, pay the price for our sin, to bring us back to him in relationship because of our sin that had been broken, and that we could have that personal, intimate relationship with the God of the universe. There was a time that only love existed between the members of the Trinity, and they shared that perfect union, but they wanted us to share with them and invite us into that perfect union as well. So we share in an intimate relationship with God himself, but we also share in an intimate relationship with the family, one another. He said, so that you may have fellowship with us, and also our fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that fellowship, that common bond of uniting the chairs is together, is not only with God, but with each other. And we share that same kind of fellowship with one another. He's going to talk later on in this book of how that is to be lived out in our love that we show to one another and the fellowship that we enjoy. But that fellowship that we are invited and welcomed into through God himself. So the source of fellowship is the Word of life, who is God, who became man. That invitation into fellowship is invited into that relationship with God. And third, what's the result? What's the result of this fellowship that we enjoy when we get to know the Lord personally and we put our faith and trust in him? He tells us in verse 4. He said, our fellowship is with our Son, the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. So what he's saying, the result of fellowship, when you have a personal, intimate relationship with the God of the universe, you have an intimate, personal relationship with the Creator of all things, the Lord God Almighty who made it all, the result is fullness of joy. Your life is overflowed and full of complete joy. That word complete means fullness, overflowing, that joy that comes into your life. And if we don't have joy in our life, it could be that we're out of fellowship with God. David knew that whenever he had committed sin against Bathsheba, when he committed sin with Bathsheba and had Uriah killed, and he tried for a year to cover that over, and he couldn't understand why God seemed distant, and his relationship with God had been hurt. He didn't have the joy, and when he came and repented, he said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. So if you don't have joy in your life, it could be that maybe there's something or reason we could be out of fellowship with God. So he's going to amplify that more this week in this book ahead. But joy is one of the results, the joy that our Lord produces. And joy isn't based on circumstances. It's a fruit of the Spirit that the Lord produces within us, that we can rejoice even in the midst of difficulty. So joy in our life comes as one of the results, but also holiness. Verse 5, notice what he says. This is the message we have heard from beginning and clear to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. We're going to look at this next week. But if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. But verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1, I write this to you that you will not sin. So holiness is another thing. When we know the Lord and we are living in fellowship with him, we would live in a way that we don't intentionally sin. John's going to teach us more about that. But joy, holiness, that's a result of fellowship with God. Third is truth, that we would know the truth. He's writing to them so they would not be caught and by false doctrine. We need to know the truth. And when we have the relationship with God and fellowship with him, we will have the truth, that we won't be deceived. Look at chapter 2, verse 20. He says, dear children, the Antichrist is coming, but you have the anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. And verse 26, I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. And in chapter 4, we're going to get more about this, but he says, dear friend, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. And this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. And so the truth and knowing the truth of who Jesus is another result of having fellowship with him. We'll grow in that. And love. When we are in relationship with God and fellowship with him, love will be a result. Chapter 4. This is just a little highlight of the themes that's coming. Verse 7. John says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Dear friends, since God so loved us, let us also love one another. And the last result of fellowship with God is assurance. that we will have that assurance and know that we belong to him. Chapter 5, beginning in verse 10. John says, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. And anyone who does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar because he has not believed the testimony about God and he's given his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. We'll deal more with that in the weeks ahead. But assurance, that's another result of having fellowship, being in fellowship with God. Joy, holiness, truth, love, and assurance. John begins this letter with a powerful introduction of introducing us to this Word of Life, who makes it possible for us to have personal fellowship with him. The one who always existed before, in the beginning, before anything else, he was. And that God became man and took on human flesh, and they had seen it, testified it, and their word is true. And through him, in making it possible that we can be brought in the fellowship that we are invited into in that personal relationship with God, giving us joy and peace and love and assurance. In the year 325 AD, the church gathered together and sent all leaders from all the churches at that time around the world. At the time it was called the Catholic Church, not the Roman Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church, the general church worldwide. And they had gathered around the world into a place called Nicaea to settle the false doctrine of Arius, who was teaching that Jesus was not God. He was born the Son of God, and he came to be existed later. And they developed a creed known as the Nicene Creed, and it was adopted as this is the scriptural biblical teaching that we, the church, confess and put it down into writing as what John had taught here. And they had received from John 300 years after, really basically 200 years after John's death. And it put it into writing, the conforming of the Nicene Creed, putting in the refuting the false teaching of Arius and Gnosticism, and what proclaiming strongly who Jesus is as both the Son of God, the Eternal One, who always existed, who became flesh. This morning, as we conclude our service, I want you to stand together because we are going to confess our faith and what John has written and what the scripture declares and what the Nicene Creed has declared and put into writing. So if you're able to stand, the words are going to be up here, and you can see from this creed the teaching of what John the Apostle taught the church and put it into writing, telling us who Jesus is. And as we confess the faith once delivered to the saints down to us that we believe about who Jesus is, let's share this together in unison, confessing our faith in the Lord as written by the Nicene Creed. This goes way back. Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things, visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father before all ages. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, being of one substance as the Father. Through him, all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life and the world to come. Amen. That's our faith. That's what we believe, once delivered to the saints, codified by the Council of Nicaea and brought down to us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has made fellowship and relationship with you possible. To think that you, the God who always was, who existed before the beginning, before all time, loved in their perfect intimate relationship, loved us so much that you wanted to bring us into that fellowship and relationship with you. So you divined a way. And Jesus, you took on human flesh, was born into this world, took on flesh literally, and died for us, God for us, that we could be redeemed and brought back into fellowship with you. Thank you for that wondrous love and making it possible, that way of relationship with you. That Jesus rose again and you are in glory and someday you will return and take us to be with you and we will live in fellowship with you forever in your kingdom to come. And Lord, we look for that day and we long may it be. So Lord, thank you for who you are, for what you've done for us, the God of the ages who made fellowship with us, that we can fellowship with you and one another. We praise you and thank you for the work of Jesus on the cross, for our Savior, our Lord. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.